All right. Would you please open your Bibles with me to the book of Jonah? And so just before service, Joe was so kind to hand out some papers, and we want to make sure that everyone got one. This isn't a test. We're going to go through this real briefly. I just wanted to kind of get your mind on Mission Impossible. So my question, first of all, is did everyone get a paper? Does anyone not have a paper? No, there should be enough for everyone. Did you want one, Carter? Did you want one? Okay, up here there's one. Anyone else, just raise your hand. You didn't get a paper? He's got more. Okay, I just wanted everyone to get one Thank you. Okay, thank you. Great. All right, let's just go through this just before we read a little bit in the book of Jonah, where it says introduction. This isn't a trick question. I just want to kind of get your mind on something. I feel like I don't speak on missions very much, and I feel like as Christian Missionary Alliance, we want to. I just wanted to talk about it this morning in a way that I feel that the Lord has laid on my heart. The introduction says, I want you to identify this theme song, if you can play the theme song, and we all know the answer is Mission Impossible. Okay, the question, I want you to complete this sentence, if you can, your mission, if you choose to accept it. I want you to tell me the last name of the fictional character who leads M15, if you can. First name, Ethan. Last name, Hunt. Now let's try this quiz. Where is the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel? Matthew 28. Very good. Fill in the blanks. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Now, some translations might have obey, but mine had observe. And surely I am with you always, even into the end of the age. And of course, by now, who was the Old Testament prophet that was the missionary to the lost people of Assyria? Jonah. So let's look to the book of Jonah. And Jonah was, you know, in a way, we're all missionaries. Whenever God calls you to speak to somebody or be a shining light, I kind of think like we're a missionary. But the book of Jonah is regarding Jonah, and there was a wicked city of Nineveh. It was northeast of Tarshish. When God calls Jonah to preach repentance to the wicked Ninevites, the prophet knows that God's mercy may follow, and he turns down the assignment. I think he thought it was a mission impossible. He turned down the assignment that God wanted him to do. So in the first verse in that book, and there's four chapters in this book, says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, the capital of Assyria, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So Jonah arose to Tarshish. That's not going to Nineveh. So Jonah arose to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it and to go to Tarshish and away from the presence of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something that's so interesting about this book. And I feel like this is one of those books and one of those themes in my mind that I feel like I could spend like 3 weeks on, but I only have one. There's so much to it, so I can only accomplish so much. But I want to bring your attention to something that's, I think, so interesting and vital. is most of the time in the 66 books, God focuses on the message. 99.99% of the time, God focuses on the message, and the message is the most important. So the book of Jonah is very unusual and unique in that it focuses on the messenger. So why does God focus on the messenger and not the message? The message is one sentence. He said to Jonah, go tell the Ninevites, and they were wicked people, that in 40 days, I'm going to overthrow that city. God was so disturbed with the wickedness of that city, he said, I want you to know, I'm coming for you. Kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. Ooh, I'm coming for you. So I want you to give that message. In 40 days, I'm overthrowing your city. That was the message. We have four chapters, and it's about mainly about the messenger. So what does God want us to see here? I believe he wants us to see something here. But Jonah was called to a mission, and only one that calls you to missions is God, and he was in the very presence of the Lord. Can you imagine God in his infinite power and mercy coming to us in his presence and saying, I'm calling you, and this is what I want you to do. So I want you to head this direction, and you leave the presence of the Lord and the word of the Lord, and you turn into completely 180 degrees, and you say, I'm going this way. I'm not doing it. That's what Jonah did. He was a prophet. He was a man of God, but he was in a spot in his mind and in his heart saying, I'm not going there. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, go preach to that city. And Jonah said, I'm not going to go. So Jonah was, well, let me give you a few sentences about Jonah. Jonah was an Israelite who lived around 800 BC, or 875 BC. In Jonah chapter 1, we read where he was called by God to go east as a missionary to the city of a very wicked city called Nineveh, the capital city of this Assyrian nation. Jonah wasn't feeling the call of God, so going east, he chartered a boat, said, oh, I'll go the opposite way to Tarshish. God caused a great storm to arise in the Mediterranean Sea, which great storms were very unusual. In the extreme storm in the Mediterranean Sea was very unusual in that because it's not a huge body of water in comparison to the world's waters, resulting in Jonah being tossed overboard. My point at the moment is, how in the world did this person, did this man of God who loved the Lord, come to the place of saying, I am not going to do what you asked me, Lord. I'm not doing it. I'm leaving. So God had other plans. God still maintained. He maintained that he wanted the word of God to come to the city of Nineveh. So Jonah says, I'm not doing it. I'm leaving. I'm going. So next thing you know, he finds himself on a boat, and there's a great, huge storm that arises. And the men on the boat said, what in the world's going on? This never happens. Jonah, he was just sleeping down there. Reminds you of somebody else in the New Testament, doesn't it? But Jonah was just sleeping down there in the old boat, you know, and the storm was so bad that they cast lots. That was kind of like we would kind of think of it as like throwing dice. You don't know what is causing this. So you say, I'm going to find out. So they cast lots, and a man came up on the lots and said, Jonah. So he said, Jonah, what is going on? Jonah said, it's me. It is my fault. He had a heart. He said, it's my fault. I tell you what, I don't want to go where God wants me to go. So I tell you what, he said, the best thing to get the storm stopped and best thing for you guys to do to save your lives is just throw me overboard, throw me over. And they said, no, we're not doing that. They were humans. They said, we're not doing that. So the Bible says they continued to row. They continued to row. They said, we're going to get to land. We're all going to get to land safely. And God said, oh, no, that plan isn't my plan. That plan is not going to work. So the storm got so bad that the boat was about to capsize, and they didn't have any choice. To save all the lives on the boat, they cast Jonah overboard, as Jonah said to do. Now, normally that would be the end of Jonah's life. With a storm like that, if you go out in the oceans and you know that what happens when those waves get 10, 15, even 20 feet high, you're dead. You're gone. But God wasn't done with Jonah, but Jonah didn't know it. Jonah was willing to die. That's why he didn't want to go. Now, what was in Jonah's heart? Why in the world would somebody not want to do that so bad that you'd be willing to die and then preach the gospel somewhere? Well, I wish it was a different story, but according to the scriptures, the Assyrians in Nineveh, they were such bad people. They were so wicked. They were barbaric in their warriorship. They were good soldiers, but they were very rude, crude. What we would say in today's world, very barbaric. And so Jonah, in his mind, thought these people do not need the will of the Lord. They do not need the word of God. They need to be annihilated. They are not Jews. They're from another nation. And they're horrible people. And I just think that God needs to put his wrath on them. And he needs to annihilate him. I want to tell you something. The word of God goes beyond nations. It goes beyond our thinking. It goes beyond being a Jew. God's heart goes beyond. Everyone, God was not given up on this city called Nineveh. He wasn't given up, even though this man said, I'm just simply not going. So after he gets thrown off and into the water, there's a great fish prepared. Most likely, some people say, well, maybe it was a special fish. I just think it was a huge whale. Do you know how big whales are? They could swallow a man. But anyway, you know, God prepared a whale, prepared a fish. And Jonah found himself in an awful situation. He found himself in the belly of a whale. No more eating. No more drinking. No more comfort. And here he finds himself in a horrible, horrible situation. And why? Because he said, no, I'm not going. I'm not doing this mission. This mission is impossible. I'm not handling it. I'm not coping with this. And how many times in life do we say, Lord, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be able to cope with this. And like Dennis said about Paul had something wrong with his eyes or something. And he said, God, I know you can heal me. And he said, I'm not going to, because my grace is sufficient for you. Jonah, my plan's not changing. My will isn't changing. You're going to change your heart, and you're going to be in a place where your heart has changed. And you know, sometimes God does that. Maybe it's not in the belly of a whale, but sometimes we get in tough situations in life, and God says, this is my will for you, and this is what I need you to do. And in the belly of the whale, the scripture says, Jonah began to pray. Oh, God. Oh, my Lord. I'm beginning to see this now. I'm beginning to see that I'm supposed to go to this place called Nineveh and preach. But, God, I know you're merciful. And my heart wasn't right. I wanted you to annihilate them. I wanted you to just destroy them. Bring the fire down. God said, I have another plan. And it's going to be accomplished. Now, sometimes I believe that God has plans, and sometimes people can walk out. And Jonah found himself in the belly of the whale and changed his mind to go, but his heart wasn't fully changed. And you know, this whole thing that we talk about, this whole thing, a plan of God and the word of God and our faith and believing in a heaven that you and I have never seen, it's really a heart thing. It's a heart thing. It's absolutely a heart thing. Jonah, you need to change your heart. You need to go. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I are going to be called across seas. It doesn't mean that you and I, but our hearts needs to be willing to pray, to give, to love, to hope, to say, God, if I'm not going to go, I pray that you will send somebody and send them with effort, send them with encouragement, send them with strength, send them with the finances. Let's send them, because we can't all go. But our hearts can be there. Our hearts can be there. In Japan, there's a blowfish that's very, very poisonous. And you might have heard of this. There's a couple fish in the world that are very, very poisonous, but yet they're very edible. In Japan, there's a blowfish that's so poisonous that the smallest portion is deadly if not properly prepared. The fish is more poisonous than cyanide. And Tokyo's government allows only highly trained, licensed chefs to prepare the dish. And, you know, it's kind of weird because usually men are preparing fish, and yet now God is preparing a fish for man. So sometimes, it's hard to understand God. But I want to tell you a scripture that I can't tell you where it is, but if you're to look it up, it says some of God's ways are past finding out. We can't always know them. We get glimpses and we get part of it. But I'll tell you what, one thing I do know, when God calls us to something, we need to respond. We need to respond. And Jonah was all over the board. He was just all over the board. In chapter 1, we find him fleeing. In chapter 2, we find him fearing. In chapter 3, we find him now following. But then in chapter 4, we find him fuming. Jonah was all over the board, and it was a heart thing. But everything in Jonah, this is interesting, everything in Jonah, in Jonah's story, the storm, the lots, the sailors, the great fish, the people of Nineveh, the vine, the worm, the east wind, everything obeyed God except Jonah himself. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Instead, he chose to go to Tarshish. God's purpose would not be thwarted. He's sovereign. He's serious. He prepares a great fish. And Jonah has to go from disobedient to obedience. He's got to go to Nineveh. So Jonah prayed. God gave him a second chance and said, and he told the whale, vomit him up on land. So this great whale or great fish vomited Jonah up on great land. He was not hurt, probably hungry, probably wet, probably miserable, but he went to that city of Nineveh. No matter who you are, no matter who I am, no matter what we do, you know, God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose. And sometimes we don't understand it. I'll tell you something I don't understand about myself. Before I ever got into the mental health field, I was always surrounded by people that needed help mentally, or it felt like somehow always come my way. It's like, that's not really my thing. I don't want to deal with that. No. I don't care. This is before I even found myself in a career in a mental health field. I'm always finding myself with people that are needing help or asking for help, or people that have mental challenges or mental illness. It seems like it follows me. And like, it's like, why does that do that? Why am I at the wrong place at the wrong time? So even when I was in a wood mill, and even when I was at work in General Electric, I find myself in these spots. And it's like people with, you know, trouble, mental problems, I always found myself somehow connected with them, or not connected, or they found myself. And so I remember one time I was, before I even finished my college schooling, and got in this field of human services, I found myself in this situation all the time. I didn't ask for it. But it kept being there. And so one time I went up to a hospital to visit a man that I worked with that was having some real issues. And he stuttered very badly, and he had some problems, but yet he was a very intelligent person. But I've worked with everybody. It feels like to me, I'm going to say 150 people that I've worked in professionally, probably closer to 200. And then outside of that, it seems like it keeps coming. And it's like, I don't want this. Joan, I'm like, oh, I don't want this, but God keeps bringing it to me. And so I went up to him, and his name was Jim. I still remember his last name. It's irrelevant. But Jim, I said, you know, we've worked together for years, and now you're in the hospital. I said, I want you to know. I said, God wants your heart. And I spoke to him, and I said, come, can I pray with you? And I prayed with him. And within, I'm going to say within a week, it might have been two. It's been so long ago, I forget. But within a couple of weeks, that man, who was only probably in his early 40s, passed away. He died. He never left the hospital. I didn't know that was happening. All along life's path. And so in 1989, I found myself in this field full time. And, you know, I'd like to go to Tarshish. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't always want to be there. But somehow God's given me the ability and the patience and the mind to be able to help in these situations and help with in this. So, you know, it took me a long time. And now I honestly believe I can stand here and say, I'm fine with it. I mean, I finally accepted it. I felt like I was in the belly of the well for so many times. And sometimes it was very difficult. But God is the one that plans for you. And that is the way it should be. We should be willing to follow his plan. But Jonah, we find him running the other way. Sometimes I found myself running the other way. But when I came to the place, and it was, you know, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. And God, you know, finally gave me employment through it, and it became a blessing. And so, you know, God turn something that seems very difficult in your life. And I can't talk for you. I can only talk for myself. And so we learn from each other. We learn from each other's experiences. But so we find Jonah now heading back to Nineveh, saying, God, okay, I've had enough. I understand now. I'm going to go. And so he went. He preached. All he did was walk down the streets and said, God is going to destroy this city. In 40 days, your city is going to be overthrown. And, you know, deep down, now this is what I alluded to this earlier, but I want you to catch something really that I think is very important. Deep down, Jonah knew that God was so merciful, God was so loving, God was so forgiving, that he was going to overlook this city's wickedness and evilness and their sinfulness. God was, in his infinite mercy and grace, was going to forget it all. He was going to forgive this people if they would just look to him. And Jonah wasn't happy with that. So I want you to know that, you know, part of that is Jonah. You know, sometimes we don't think someone, you know, they've done too bad. People think I've done too bad. Now here, this is so interesting. Nineveh was preached to. It was a very short message. But within 40 days, the evil people, the wicked people of that city, turned their hearts around, including the king. The king in the city, and there was tens of thousands, it was a big city in that time and day, turned their hearts toward God and said, God, I don't want to be overthrown. I'll give my life to you, and I'll give you my heart. Jonah, instead of being pleased with what God did and what the people did, was still kind of upset in his life. He was angry. So that God's perceptions are different than our perceptions. God's heart is different than our heart. That's why we have to get our heart in tune with his, that we can be in sync with him. And that's what we need to do. Bring our hearts in sync with him, and then things work so much better. You know, we have a wonderful spirit here. We have a wonderful congregation. We have a wonderful atmosphere. And, you know, it's because we're getting our hearts in sync. We get our hearts in sync, and we get our hearts in sync with God. And God can move. God can do wonderful things. Who would have predicted that the wicked Ninevites would listen to Jonah? Who'd ever predicted that? Yet everyone, including the king, gave up their evil ways and asked for mercy. Chapter 3, verse 8. God's heart was touched with compassion, but Jonah's was not. In fact, he was displeased and somewhat angry. He had known that God would show mercy and compassion to repentant hearts. The potential redemption of the Ninevites had been his main concern from the start. These evil people were God's enemies. Their military power and cruelty was legendary. And they worshiped many false gods. In Jonah's eyes, they did not deserve compassion. In Jonah's eyes, they deserved annihilation. They deserved hell. They deserved fire and brimstone. And Jonah could have been rejoicing because the Ninevites changed their hearts. Instead, his prejudice, his own thoughts, robbed him of the rejoicing and the well-being, robbed him of the joy that he should have had. But he was disturbed and he was depressed. He was depressed so much that he didn't care if he lost his own life. He ran from God, then he ran back. Then he ran from God, and now it's like, he struggled. So Jonah's hatred for Nineveh blinded him to the implications of what he was witnessing. We get excited when someone, you know, comes to God or begins to take great steps in the right direction. Sometimes someone doesn't take 10 steps, but as long as they take one step and it's in the right direction, wow, we're thrilled. We should be. We really should be. Because God works in miraculous ways. His grace is infinite, and he wants to work. Only God's power can change a pagan culture into a redeemed people of God. Jonah missed the miracle because he chose to cling to his own perceptions, and he hardened his heart about the grace of God. This is about the messenger. So, what I'm saying to you, I've really not heard. We all hear of Jonah and the whale and Jonah and the fish, but this is something that God just somehow, a few weeks ago, Jean saw my couple of my notes, and she said, missions. Missions, I don't hardly ever talk about missions. I said, yeah. Even though I'm not as mission-minded as I should be, I'm soul-minded, but it's hard. Sometimes it's an abstract thought to me. You know, I've never been, in Africa. I've never been in Russia. I've never been in certain areas of the world. So when I see things, I only understand them to a point, because if I don't understand it fully, it's because it's an abstract thought to me. That's part of because once you're there, it becomes more real. Laird has a tie on. Now, don't everyone turn around and look at Laird's tie. But I mentioned it to Laird this morning. He's got a tie of a map, and it has all kinds of cities and missions and, you know, different things of the world, kind of a world map, and it was pretty cool. I said, hey, I said, Laird, I'm kind of mentioning missions this morning. So, you know, it's neat how things come together. But God is at the heart of missions. I know he's at the heart of missions because he's at the heart of souls. And he God lives in the soulish realm. He wants our spirits to be raised with him. He wants us to live in the soulish realm. But in Jonah was called to missions. And the call to missions comes from the word of God and from the heart of God. It comes from circumstances, and it comes from because of God's concern. In chapter 1, we see that there was a failure to communicate. Jonah resisted God's call to go to Nineveh, but God still had a message. Instead, he chartered a boat for Tarshish, but God continued to say, I'm going to speak to the wicked people of Nineveh. I'm going to speak to them because I know that they can turn to me if they but repent and turn their eyes towards, like the song says, turn your eyes toward Jesus. So God's missionary heart is very big. So it doesn't matter if we get upset. It doesn't matter what we think. God's heart is going to be toward the people of the world and toward souls. You see the love of God in Jonah's, God is merciful, he's compassionate, he's slow to angry, and he's filled with love. How awesome is that? The love of God stands out more in this story because of Jonah's heart, because Jonah doesn't want to do that, and Jonah understands the mercy of God, then God's mercy even shines more. So I don't know, as you know, as a human being, if I can do this story justice, but if we can just realize that God, in his infinite mercy and grace and love, will go to any people and go to any length and go to anything. And I believe this with all my heart. If Jonah would have resisted completely and not changed his mind in the belly of the whale, God would have chose another person. God's plan will be fulfilled. If God wants to move in an area or wants to move, he's going to move. But God did everything he could do. And finally, Jonah changed his mind. I think Jonah, after this was all done, he must have sat down and he had to have a heart-to-heart talk with himself. Sometimes you have to have a heart-to-heart talk. Say, God, where is my heart? Where am I? So this morning, I just hope that something I've said or something we've looked at through the Word can just bring our attention to God. He is so, so amazingly merciful for those in all parts of the world, for those that we don't know, those that are unseen. And I appreciate it when people say, I'm praying for people that are unseen. What a sacrifice, because God will move through those prayers. He will answer and he will send. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for Jonah, because Lord, even though he didn't want to do your plan and do your will, God, you have a great message for us, and you've put this book in your word for a message for us. And oh God, I pray that, Lord, somehow we'll be able to receive it. And Lord, even though I don't feel like I've done it justice, God, I pray that we will ponder the word. I believe that sometimes you speak to us when a speaker's speaking, and sometimes you speak to us later on. And God, sometimes maybe this is one of those moments, Lord, when you would just enlighten us this week, and enlighten us with your word, enlighten us of what are you trying to talk to us about? What are you trying to explain to us, Lord? What are you trying to send us a message through your messenger? It wasn't all the message, but you were trying to get so many points across. And God, I know one of them is you want us to realize how loving and how merciful, how great you are. Even if the mission seems impossible, you make a way if we'll but accept it. God, I pray that you'll change our hearts and melt our hearts to continue on doing and fulfilling your word in every aspect of our life, in every business decision, and everything that we do and say. Lord, continue to speak to us, and we'll just continue to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.